Welcome to the MLB Trade Rumors Podcast.
All right, welcome to the MLB Trade Rumors Podcast. If you are a regular listener to the show, you may have already noticed that I do not have a New Zealand accent. Simon Hampton is moving on, and I'm stepping in. My name is Dara McDonald. If you're one of the people who sends nasty emails to us all the time saying what a terrible writer I am, I'm very sorry. This is a big L for you, but I will see you at the family reunion. We are going to break down and analyze MLB Hot Stove stuff in audio form. If you also want analysis in written form, of course, you can always go to the website, MLBTradeRumors.com, which is free and available at all times. You can also sign up for the newsletter, and Cliff Corcoran will send a roundup of the previous day's action directly to your inbox. That is also free, and that is at MLBTradeRumors.com/newsletter, and that can just land in your email every day, Monday through Friday. Without further ado, let's talk some baseball. I am here with MLBTR writer Anthony Franco. How are you doing, Anthony?
I'm good. Just got back from a vacation, so excited to get back into it. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. This is actually strange that even though we've been coworkers for many years, I believe this is the first time we've ever spoken to each other.
I think it is. Yeah, it's crazy.
Just a weird way that our job works. Many emails and many messages, but this is the first time audio has been involved. All right, so let's talk baseball. We wanted to talk about the National League wildcard race. We're recording this Tuesday morning, May 30th. So we're about halfway between opening day and the trade deadline. So what has happened? The National League is really jammed up. Looking at the standings right now, the Diamondbacks, Marlins, and Giants have the three wildcard teams, just as everyone had predicted. And then every other team is within five games. The Nationals and the Cardinals are in the basement, but only five games back. So it's wide open. Anthony, any thoughts?
It should make for a fun race, I would hope. Nobody's really pulling away. A lot of teams still very much in it, like you said. And I think that'll make both for some interesting deadline decisions for these teams that are kind of straddling the line of, do we want to buy? How aggressively would we want to sell if we go that route? And obviously, I think, you know, some of these teams will fall back, but there should be a good five or six, I think, that will stick right in the playoff mix deep into September. So I'm excited about it. Parity.
Yeah, I think it'll be very interesting. There was somebody this week, I think it might have been Mike Elias of the Orioles, saying basically that he has no idea what the trade deadline is going to look like because there are so few clear sellers. And I'm wondering if maybe the kinds of trades that we see will look a little different, where instead of a clear buyer sending prospects to a clear seller for a current, you know, win now piece, if maybe we see more sort of what are called classic baseball trades. You know, we saw last year the Yankees and the Cardinals. The Yankees sent Jordan Montgomery to the Cardinals for Harrison Bader. Do you think there's any chance we see more of those kinds of trades because there's just fewer seller, like tanking type teams?
Yeah, I think, teams might have to, like you said, because there are so few just objectively bad teams, and the ones that are truly awful have mostly sold off the pieces who would otherwise attract attention at the deadline. And so, yeah, I think you're right that you'll have to see kind of front offices get a little more creative. I mean, you pointed to Montgomery Bader last summer as one of them. And obviously over the offseason, I think one of the biggest moves that was made was Varsho for Gabriel Moreno and Lourdes Gurriel, which was the same kind of thing. Two teams that swapped at positions of need for immediate major league help. And so I don't know if that's easier to do in the offseason. It feels like it probably would be because free agency is there for teams to kind of supplement as well. But like you said, given the kind of lack of alternatives in terms of just absolute clear-cut sellers, then yeah, I guess front offices will probably have to consider that kind of move.
So let's look at some more specifics here then. A couple of returns this week, guys who came back from notable absences. Michael Soroka and Tyler Glasnow are two of them. Now,
they've both had significant absences for different reasons. Soroka, this was, I believe, his first appearance since 2020, I think. A couple of Achilles tears. He's had quite a brutal run for the past few years, and then he was injured again in spring training. Now he's back. He made a start this weekend. He pitched 6 innings, but he did allow 4 earned runs, only 3 strikeouts. So sort of mixed results there. Do you think he's going to stick around, Anthony? Do you think this is going to have a long-term impact on Atlanta's rotation with Fried and Wright out, or is this kind of a spot start, do you think?
Feels more like a spot start to me for now. You know, he's been okay in AAA this year. He's kind of doing the Soroka thing that we saw earlier, where he throws a lot of strikes, he gets a bunch of ground balls, doesn't miss a ton of bats. It's not overpowering stuff, but it's kind of good polish. But ultimately, I think they'll have to be very cautious with the innings, just because, as you mentioned, I mean, he's going 2 full years basically without pitching at all. He threw a couple innings on like a rehab stint at the end of last season, but so you got almost nothing between 2021 and 2022, and he'd only made 3 starts in 2020 before the first of his Achilles tears. So really, you're talking about 3 years of almost no competitive action. And so I just think ultimately we saw them kind of declare pretty early on in spring training. Now, he was banged up in spring training, so that was part of it, but that they were going to take a real look at Jared Schuster and Dylan Dodd, and they went to Bryce Elder before they went to Soroka when the injuries first came up. So I think that Soroka is more of a depth guy who they could kind of selectively call upon throughout the season, but I'd be surprised if he's in the major league rotation, you know, permanently from here on.
Wild thing about Soroka is that he pitched a full year in 2019, and then he's had all these absences. He's still only 25 years old, so it'll be interesting to see if he can get back in a good groove there. Glasnow obviously is a different situation, definitely not a spot start for him. So do you want to talk about his impact on the Tampa rotation?
Yeah, well, if he's healthy, obviously it's huge, right? I mean, him and McClanahan as a 1-2 would be right up there with any in the majors. So, and obviously, you know, it's Tampa's had some brutal pitching injury luck going back to Shane Boz at the end of last year. And then Rasmussen might come back this year, but he's going to be out for a while. You're talking probably August at the earliest. And Springs is done for the year. He had Tommy John surgery. So obviously Glasnow's pivotal for them because of even the Rays, you know, with their pitching development. At some point, you got to have somebody who can go out there and reliably take the ball and provide top of the rotation innings for you. And Glasnow and McClanahan can both do that. And it's just a matter of, especially with Glasnow in particular, whether he can stay healthy.
Even with all of those pitching injuries, they are still 39-17, easily the best team in baseball so far. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see with Glasnow, because he's obviously shown he can be that ace type pitcher in the past, but still, you know, injuries pop up here and there. And his career high for like a season of innings was the 111 2/3 he pitched back in 2018, which was half with the Pirates, half with the Rays. Since becoming a Ray, he's never topped 88 innings in a season. So it'll be interesting to see if that becomes an issue as the season goes along, if he has any sort of restraints as the postseason comes up.
Yeah, I'm sort of curious. You know, you mentioned that they're leading the majors at 39-17. They are only 4 games up on Baltimore. We were talking about this before we started recording, that everyone in the AL East as of now is still above 500. They're at least 2 games above 500. They all have a run differential of at least plus 11, in Tampa Bay's case, significantly better. Do you think that the Rays are going to hang on, start to finish all year as the top team in the AL East, or do you think that they'll get past at some point?
I mean, it's very interesting because I knew they had a strong roster coming in, but you know, they had kind of a quiet off season, but they've got so much internal improvement from their lineup. Just, I mean, part of it is health, because you got Wander Franco and Brandon Lau. I forget which one is Lau and which one's Low. But they're healthy. You know, they're getting improvements from, you know, Yandy Diaz taking a huge step forward, and Harold Ramirez, and, you know, Arozarena doing his thing. They just always seem to be able to patch the pitching together if the offense is doing enough. So, you know, they've weathered all these injuries so far. So I think it'll come down to health in the rotation, because now they're in a good spot with, you know, you mentioned McClanahan and Glasnow. Eflin is doing well, you know, but another injury at this point would be a little tricky, I think, because it's sort of like, then you're relying on like a Yanni Chirinos coming up, something like that. So I think health will be the big thing for them. But if they stay healthy, I don't see why they can't cruise.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, you talked about the lineup improvements, especially, and it's been so good. I mean, the Isak Paredes trade for Austin Meadows just looks like an absolute coup. I mean, I know obviously Detroit couldn't have anticipated that Meadows would have some of the anxiety troubles he's had. And, you know, obviously everyone's wishing the best for him on that. But to get Paredes and a draft pick for Meadows, who had struggled even when he was kind of on the field with the Tigers, and Paredes just been awesome essentially both years that he's been in Tampa Bay. So,
yeah, definitely great for the Rays, that one. Let's quickly talk about, we're going to get to some reader questions here in a minute, but we've got a couple of, there's not a lot of free agents at this time of year, obviously, because we're midway through it, but there've been some recent additions. It seems like it's been give up on your struggling veteran season, because we've had a whole bunch of them getting cut in the past week or two. So we've had Aaron Hicks, Eric Hosmer, Hunter Dozier, and Jesus Aguilar all getting cut. The first three have all already been released. Aguilar was just designated for assignment on the weekend, so it'll probably take a couple of days for him to actually officially be on the open market. For teams that are looking for a boost, Anthony, do you see anything appetizing in that pile?
I mean, obviously you're talking about marginal upgrades with all these guys at this point. You know, if they had been, any of them had been playing well, they wouldn't have been released. To me, Hicks is kind of the one that I would prefer of the group, just because he does have, I think, the most defensive value as a decent enough left fielder. The other guys are kind of limited to first base, or Dozier can play third base, but not particularly well. You know, Hicks has been really bad this year, but at least as of last year, was still a viable major league player. He wasn't, of course, living up to the contract extension that the Yankees had given him, but he was drawing a bunch of walks and reaching base at a slightly above average clip, and was still, I think, you know, a better than replacement level player as recently as 2022, which is, I think, more than you can say for the other guys who have really struggled the last multiple years.
Yeah, I just drew it up here on FanGraphs. Aaron Hicks last year was worth 1.4 wins above replacement. He had a 90 for his WRC plus, you know, stole 10 bases. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see. He didn't get much playing time this year, so maybe if he goes somewhere out of the spotlight and gets some regular playing time, maybe he can get back on a good track. All right. Well, let's see. We got a bunch of good questions from readers, so let's get to some of those. Let's start with Steve. Steve, not Steve Adams, a different Steve. Do you guys think that the Giants will have any impact on the NL West race given their recent record? Anthony, I know you've been a bit of a Giants believer. Yes, is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think I'm the only one on staff who picked them to make the playoffs before the start of the season.
Well, your pick is looking pretty good right now. They're sitting 28 and 26. They do have the last wild card spot in the National League at the moment. You must be feeling okay about that pick then?
Yeah, they've been okay. About, I think, what I would expect. You know, I would have expected a little bit more from Mitch Haniger. You know, got off to a slow start after the injury. I think that the offense is a little bit better than it has been. I wasn't really counting on it being carried by Tyro Estrada for a while. But I like the rotation. The bullpen is a little bit iffy to me. But no, I think they're a good team. Slightly above average team to me. As to the question itself as to whether there are factors in the NL West, I don't think so. They're a wild card contender to me, but I, at this point, expect the Dodgers to run away with the NL West.
Yeah, the Dodgers currently 4.5 games up. Let's say, hypothetically, the Giants hover at this sort of level, you know, in the wild card race for sure, but not sort of running away with anything. What kind of boldness do you think we're going to see a couple months from now?
That's tough, right? Because they've Farhan Zaidi, their president of baseball operations, has talked in the past, not this year, but in previous years, about how the farm system hasn't come along quite to the extent that they had anticipated. And so they've been a little bit reluctant to be super aggressive on the trade market. Obviously, in free agency, they took a bunch of big swings at position players last year, and they came up empty for various reasons that have been rehashed a million times. I do think that ultimately, you know, if they're in it, they're going to go for it to some extent. But this doesn't feel like a team that's going to trade like a, you know, a Kyle Harrison or a Marco Luciano. You know, they're not going to deal from the absolute upper tier of the farm system. It's more, to me, a club that looks kind of as selective buyers, maybe for bullpen help or a kind of situational role-playing bat to help for the stretch run. Maybe if you can get somebody who's controllable beyond this season. I know you just wrote about J.D. Davis, how they kind of threw him into the Darren Ruff trade, and he's been really good for them and a multi-year major league piece. Something like that, to me, feels more realistic.
Right. It's probably not a big Chris Bryant trade this year. All right. Well, along similar lines, we have another question from Jamurhead. If the Padres are still struggling at the deadline, do they consider trading Juan Soto and try to recoup some young talent, or do they consider signing him? And then they say they don't think they have the money for it. So what are your thoughts on the Padres?
I can't see them trading Soto. Even if they, I mean, they could fall behind the Rockies to me, and I don't think they will, but even if they did, I still don't think they would trade Soto. He's controllable for one more year. They have an all-in front office, an all-in ownership group. As the questioner alluded to, they've spent a ton of money. Even if things get to a point where they spiral and they fall out of it this year, I don't think they would want to wave the white flag for 2024. Where are you at on San Diego? Do you expect them to get back into it this year? Should they consider blowing it up if they're still not playing well in July? What would you do?
Well, I think it relates to how we started this podcast. You know, we talked about how close the wild card race is in the National League. And so, yeah, obviously you look at the Padres record, 24 and 29, and it doesn't look great. But they're only 3.5 games out of a playoff spot right now. So, you know, one hot week gets them right back in there. So I think a lot of it will depend on how it goes for the next couple of months. As you mentioned, you know, they're so committed to winning, they're so in it, that I feel like even if they stay in this range where they're within a couple of games, they'll probably do more buying than selling. That would be my guess, especially, like, you know, after all that spending, you know, they've made big trades for like Soto and Hader and a bunch of other guys. It's hard for me to see them just, you know, stepping on the brakes. So I would definitely lean towards them leaning in more than pulling out. All right, so let's pivot to the American League here. We got another question from Yana Oderman. What do you see the Twins doing before the trade deadline? Now, the Twins, we've talked about how the AL is so different from the NL this year. The Twins have a record of 28 and 26 and are leading the Central. They have the same record as the Blue Jays, who are in last in the East. So how do you feel about the Twins, Anthony?
They're fascinating to me because I think that they're clearly the best team in the AL Central. They haven't really pulled away from it yet. You know, they're only two games up. But to me, just looking at the roster, both in terms of they've outscored opponents by 44 runs. Everyone else in the division has a run differential of negative 33 or worse. And I just thought, even coming into the year, that it was the strongest top to bottom roster in the division. But there's a lot of different ways that I think they could go with the deadline, kind of depending on how things play out over the next couple months. In any event, I expect that they'll be in playoff position and they'll buy. But just in terms of what their priorities are, you know, they could use another reliever. That's true of pretty much every contender. I expect that they'll add, you know, a setup type just to build the depth out towards Yoan Duran. But as far as the lineup goes, I think a lot of it kind of depends on how some of their younger players are looking. They just got Royce Lewis back from his ACL tear yesterday. He's presumably going to get a lot of run at third base over the next couple months. They had initially planned to give third base to Jose Miranda. he was not very good for the first 6 weeks of the season and got optioned, but he's kind of, you know, I mean, he's still a factor. He was a good player for them last year. It's a similar situation in the corner outfield where they haven't gotten great production, but they have Alex Kirilloff and Trevor Larnach and Max Kepler, guys who very plausibly could be good, but aren't necessarily locks to be. So I just think that they're in a situation where they're going to kind of have to monitor their own offensive performances from a lot of these interesting but not quite proven players and see where things shake up, you know, 6 to 8 weeks from now.
Yeah, that's a great point. So perhaps looking for upgrades there. One other wild card for the Twins will be the rotation, I think, because you got some strength there. Obviously, Lopez, Ober, Gray, and Ryan, that's strong front four. And then there are some guys who maybe could be back in the mix. Tyler Molly is out for the year with Tommy John surgery, but Kenta Maeda, Chris Paddock, both potentially coming back at some point this summer. How do you think that's going to play out, Anthony?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want to be counting necessarily on either Paddock or Maeda, just given their recent health histories. But I don't think they necessarily are. They have a lot of, again, sort of similar to what I was just talking about on the position player side, but a lot of interesting starting pitchers kind of who've dabbled at the major league level, mostly been in the upper minors, guys like Louis Varland and Simeon Woods Richardson. So I think they have enough depth there to weather it. You know, they've had some pretty bad injury luck the past couple of years, but as long as, in particular, Sonny Gray stays healthy, I think that the rotation's fine for now. But as you mentioned, if they get one or two more injuries, especially to the top guys, then that could be a real concern.
All right, we got one more question here. Paul Ehrenberg is asking about the Angels. Are there any moves we can make? I'm still nervous about our rotation.
Yeah, not yet. There's nothing really to be done in terms of significant trades, I think, presumably into at least late June, probably into July. So for now, you're just kind of riding it out. I do think that the pitching staff is probably the area of concern. I would agree with Paul there that to me, it's the bullpen that would be a little bit more concerning than the rotation. But I could see arguments for adding in both spots, especially with Jose Suarez just not being very good this year. That kind of threw a wrench into their starting pitching plans.
Yeah, he's on the injured list right now, so that has put a dent in the opening day mix. They also, you know, they usually try to run a six-man rotation with Ohtani, so they have that extra complication. But yeah, no, I agree. It'll be interesting to see, you know, they've had some mixed results from the rotation. You know, Detmers has a 4.93 ERA, but he has a 3.61 FIP. So maybe, you know, he's been a little bit unlucky so far. So maybe that evens out a little bit later. Tyler Anderson hasn't really lived up to, you know, he had the huge breakout year with the Dodgers last year, 2.57 ERA, but he's at 4.81 so far this year. So obviously they were hoping for something better there. So, you know, there is a case to be made for, you know, upgrading things there, but they're treading water. Personally, I would love to see the Angels in the playoffs. I really want to see Trout and Ohtani play in the postseason together. So I'm rooting for them, but 29-26, three games out, it's going to be tough. You think, who do you think they can catch?
Oh man. At this point, I don't know that I would take them over anyone who currently occupies a wild card spot. As recently as like a week or two ago, I would have said that they were going to run down Baltimore. And at this point, it just doesn't seem like that's the case. Baltimore just keeps winning. Their offense is really good. Their bullpen's really good. And the concerns that I've had about the Orioles starting rotation are not unfounded, I don't think. Like, I don't think the rotation is particularly good, but it's something that this summer they're going to be in position to leverage their farm depth for. The Yankees have weathered a lot of injury issues. I'm in on Texas as being at least a wild card team, maybe an AL West contender, just given how good their offense looks. So yeah, I don't know. It's just, I think the Angels are a good team. I feel better about the Angels this year than I have probably in the last 6 or 7 years, just because of a lot of the position player upgrades they've made. But the AL runs, I mean, we were talking about this earlier, runs a good 9 or 10 teams deep. And at this point, I think I would pick the Angels to end up a little bit outside of it. You had them as a playoff team before the start of the season, right?
I did. I sort of thought that, the Yankees getting older and having a lot of injury prone players would catch up with them. And they have had a lot of injuries for sure, but they still are winning in spite of it. So it's starting to look like maybe they will have enough talent to weather that storm. But we'll see. We'll see how the summer goes and if the trade deadline changes anything. We're running out of time here. So, Anthony, thank you so much for jumping on.
Yeah, of course. Anytime. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, that is it for this week. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And, you know, of course, as always, you can go to the website. You can sign up for the newsletter, sign up for the front office package, get analysis all over the place. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. Remember to visit MLBTradeRumors.com and follow us on Twitter at MLBTradeRumors.